Today we're doing something exciting, but for the next 13 weeks or something like that, you guys probably want to bring a notebook or a journal or something to write stuff down, because we're going to do something a little bit different. Usually I preach. Do you guys know the difference between preaching and teaching? Preaching is a lot more about response, about doing something about what you're learning. So you learn something and you are motivated or encouraged to respond and to act, right? Teaching is where you learn a lot of information, and that information can change your life just as much as preaching. So you'll have people that teach and preach from the pulpit, and you can kind of tell whether or not they're a preacher or a teacher. So if they're a teacher, they're going to go into a lot of detail. And it might not necessarily be about, hey, this is how you need to respond right now. Think about it as in school. When you go to school or college or high school, you have a lot of information thrown at you. And it might not necessarily change your life right at that moment. But as you become older, you're able to interact, hopefully critically think, and be able to respond to life situations. Okay, so I'm going to be doing about 13 weeks of teaching. Now, we will try our best to help you to understand how that affects you in your daily life today, but it will help you if you take notes and stuff like that, okay? So this is called Progress or Redemption. I don't think that I've taught Progress or Redemption since 2009. And the reason why Progress or Redemption is so important, it sounds fancy, it's just a class that we took in college. The reason why Progress or Redemption is important is because it teaches you the history of the entire Bible. It teaches you the narrative, the story of the Bible from beginning all the way till now, and the entire mission of God. Now, this is the deal, is that you have got a lot of mission of God from me in just how I preach and teach normally. You guys understand the big picture, that God is interested in bringing His kingdom on earth, and that we as His people are the ones that are going to do it. Now, Progress or Redemption will help you see throughout the Bible. We're going to go from the beginning of creation all the way to Jesus coming, dying on the cross in the church today. And you'll begin to see through these diagrams here, or these drawings here that TK did years and years and years ago, every epoch or every certain amount of time, like all the stories that build up to where we are now. Okay, so these images will kind of start making sense. But progress is really, really important. But we are going to do some group work as well. So this side right here is a team. You guys are a team. You guys are a team. And you guys are a team. Now, it's really, really simple. When I start to share, when we get into the Bible stories, instead of me teaching you the Bible stories, you're going to teach us. Okay, so this is the deal. How many characters do you get when you tweet? 140? Okay. So I'm going to give each of you, each team, a Bible story, and you have to write the synopsis, the overview of the Bible story in 140 characters. That's your task, okay? So some of you might be reading and trying to look for information. Others will try to word it in such a way. But you guys need to work together, and whoever comes up with the best tweet wins. You don't win anything. You just win, like, a hug. I'll give you a hug, okay? Okay, so that's it. So it just makes it a little bit more interesting, because then all of a sudden, instead of you just hearing me preach about the Word, you're actually messing with your Bibles and you're reading it and getting used to it, okay? But these are all stories that you should have heard all throughout your life. Like, for instance, Noah's Ark, right? Do you see all the hubbub about about Noah's Ark? Like, there's a couple of towns that have built, like, replicas of Noah's Ark, and you can actually go there now, which is pretty crazy. Noah's Ark. A lot of you guys know Noah's Ark, the story, from Fisher-Price toys, from VeggieTales, from Sunday school with the flannographs, you know, the flannel or the felt or whatever, and the little pieces. But you guys maybe haven't thought about it as adults. The fact that Noah's Ark, that time, was probably the most horrific time in history. You're talking about everyone died except for Noah's family. Everybody died. Like, that is horrific, right? But then we make toys about it, I don't know why, and we give it to little kids in bath time, like, oh, Noah's Ark, oh, look at the animals. But, like, everyone's drowning and scratching on the boat trying to get in, dying, drowning, and you're just like, yeah, but, you know. And we give it to our kids and we think it's okay. Like, it's so we're going to be going through, like, all these stories, and you might think of them as, like, you know, kid stories, but if you really look at them, like, as adults now, you'll be like, oh, okay, this is kind of a big deal. This is really important, and we want to kind of get to that point, okay? So that's today. All right, so the intro. The Bible's a big book. How many books? Matthew Bible study people. How many books are in the Bible? Total. 66. Josh, nice. Daniel, I would have given it to you, but you said it like 66. So it was kind of confusing. 66 books total. How many in the Old Testament? 39. How many in the New Testament? 27. You would have gotten that if you're good at math too. All right, we're doing a telescopic view. That means it's an overview. You guys know the difference between a telescope and a microscope? Microscopes are to see small things in a little detail, right? Tiny, tiny, tiny. Telescope is to see things
far away,
right? Tele, like the end, it means the end, right? So like a planet, we see the whole thing in the view, right? So you're going to see the Bible telescopically, meaning you're going to see the Bible as a whole and how it all makes sense together. Is that good? All right. The Bible tells one story. The Bible is the infallible record of what God has done and what God has said. The Bible's one book. It's a unity. All right. So this is what is really, really amazing about the Bible. You've got 66 books total that has been written over 1,000 years. And the Bible has unity. So when you have something from the beginning and something from the end, they're all working together for one entire point. A lot of people think that the Bible is about you. But the Bible is not about you. The Bible is about who? God, Jesus, right? The redemption of mankind. So when people use the Bible for science, that's why it fails. People are like, oh, the Bible teaches us all about science. It doesn't. The Bible's not a science textbook, right? When we talk about the earth and like, have you heard the argument like the earth is flat? I know. We figured that out a long, long time ago that the earth wasn't flat. But now, because of Facebook and social media, people are bringing that up again. They think the earth is actually flat and it's a big hoax, right? I just don't understand like how like the seasons work and like the sun, you know, 24-hour day period. But anyway, people actually believe that the earth is flat again, all right? I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, so the Bible is not a science textbook. The Bible is about one thing. It's about God redeeming mankind. That's why some people call it the Bible is the love letter to mankind from God. The Bible is also progressive. So that's why I have the seed to tree. So in the beginning, nobody knew what the Bible was about. Right, when Moses was writing it, he did not know about the Messiah and what that would entail and how God would save the world. They didn't know. It was revealed slowly and slowly and slowly. And a lot of times, like I think about, like if I could be like a Bible character and meet Jesus and meet God, or like for instance, like the Israelites when they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Like I think, oh man, it'd be so cool to see manna when you wake up in the morning, or a quail, or the pillar of smoke, or the pillar of fire, and all the miracles, and the plagues, and yada, 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 yada. But the thing is, the Israelites had no idea what God was doing. And he kind of like alluded to it in the beginning. What do we call that when we call it first gospel? What's the complicated term? Maddie?
Proto-evangelion.
Yes, proto-evangelion. It's the first time the gospel is presented. Does anybody remember what that verse is? Yes, Jesus the Son of Man stepping on the head of a snake and the snake biting the heel of man. Right? That was the first gospel. That was the first idea that God was going to save the world. And it progressively grew and grew and grew until now we are here and this is the church. We have the gospel. We have Jesus. We have all the revelation. We understand. Right? All revelation meaning all that he intended on giving us. Not we don't know everything. Okay? But the Bible is progressive. Numbers 14:21, this is the purpose. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth. That is the passage. Glory of the Lord fills the whole earth. That is the entire purpose of the Bible. Now, in our terms today, it is really, really hard for us to understand why the glory of the Lord filling the whole earth would be the whole purpose. But the fact of the matter is, if God is Creator God, God is... Oh, that there's nothing else. It's just God in the beginning. God created everything out of nothing. Ex nihilo, right? That means that there is nothing that is outside of God's realm. It's all about God. God is the center. God is the most important thing. And everything else is pointed towards God. Everything else is for God. And when His glory fills the whole earth, right? It is because all of creation, and you'll see this, all of creation was created for God. To worship God, to love God, He created them. and he created the whole earth to love, to love, for God to love them. All right. So here's the. This is what you need to remember. Okay. Can we write this down, Michelle or Sean? Sean, you have good handwriting. Okay. So this is what you guys are going to be learning for the next 13 weeks, probably 13 weeks. Number one is the prologue. That's today. Anybody know what a prologue is? Yes, pro. Right? Prologue. This is the beginning. It's the intro. This is the setup. And this is all the passages that you guys have to look up, right, and write a tweet about. But this is the beginning. It's the intro. So you have here, right, in this first diagram, right, this is setting everything up for the rest of the progress of redemption. This is the seed. This is the setting. This is what you guys need to know what happened in the beginning. So the first story, guys, you guys are going to look up here. You guys are going to look up creation. So you're going to look up Genesis 2. Genesis 2, okay? So look it up, read over it, and you guys need to come up with what that story is about in 140 characters right now, all right? And while they're working, you guys are going to be doing Genesis 3 through 5. That's three chapters, okay? You guys have to write a tweet about what happens in Genesis 3 through 5 and try to distill it to the main point, okay? I don't want a lot of detail. You only have 140 characters to do it. So Will, Shania, take everybody in there to do it. This group here, you guys have Genesis 6 through 9. That's the flood. Okay, Genesis 6 through 9. You have 140 characters to kind of tell us what goes on. So try to pay attention. Hey, guys, everybody, try to pay attention to what God says. Try to pay attention to what God says in the text. Sometimes he'll speak, okay? And then you guys, Genesis 10 through 11. That's the Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel. Okay? 10 through 11. Genesis 10 through 11. Okay.
A few moments later.
All right. All right, let's talk. Okay, so this today is the prologue, and then the next coming weeks will be Act 1. And Act 1 is God preparing his people. Act 2 is about the church, which is what we're living in today. And Act 3 is about eternity, okay? But we're not going to be really talking about end times or anything like that, but just the end result, the end goal, okay? So we're in the prologue. The prologue is the setup, right? The setting, okay? So the first thing that happens in the prologue is creation. So team one over here, very, very creative. Katie is goes to Davidson, and they're creative people, right? Yeah? All right, who's gonna read your
George?
Oh no! Is he gonna? All right, George, stand up, share it. All right, this is creation, guys. This is Genesis 1 and 2.
Hashtag Genesis. Hashtag chapter 2. Hashtag God took a nap on the seventh day after 26 all-nighters. For his final, he made a God from dust and made a lady extra credit. In creation 101. The two of them live in a booty garden for the rest of the day. Naked before they got to know it about the law or the forbidden fruit. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay, did you guys hear that God made woman as an extra credit? Is that what you guys said? The women were the extra credit?
Yeah.
So the men were like the... Oh, okay. And then God pulled six all-nighters? And then he took a nap on the seventh day? All right. All right. Keep that in my head. All right, so in creation, right? In creation, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The creation of the world, there was a purpose. God's purpose will be displayed in special creation of people. So God is his purpose is displayed through people. He makes people in his own image, right? Which is why racism is such a travesty, because we are all in his image. But God made people for rule and relationship. You got to remember those two words, rule and relationship. So for rule, what do you guys think that means? Creation team, what do you think that he means by rule? You guys read through that text, right? So what did God mean by rule? Dominion over the land.
Yes.
Dominion over the land. And this is what's interesting, right? That whenever Satan comes in, which we're going to see with team two, whenever Satan comes in, Satan steals dominion. he steals dominion. But this is rule. God created mankind to rule. And the second thing is relationship. This is crazy about Christianity. I don't know how we've forgotten this along history, but it's always been about relationship. It's been about our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, God's relationship within the Trinity. It's always been about relationship. So rule and relationship. And we're going to see in the next part when rule and relationship begins to fail. So here's some things that you need to remember. Number one, it's the principle of initiative. That means that God always initiates. God always starts. So in the beginning in creation, God initiates by creating the world, creating mankind. He began. He started. Okay. The second thing is principle of delegated responsibility. Delegation means to give responsibility to someone else. God delegates responsibility to mankind. So you know what, you've always heard the argument like, I can't believe in a God that would allow all of this horrible things to happen, all these tragedies. This is where you begin to understand from the very beginning in the Bible that God delegates the responsibility of the world to mankind. So whenever people try to blame God, they don't understand the principle of delegated responsibility. That God uses mankind. And what does God use today? The church. So the reason why there's so much sin, so much hatred, it's because the church is not moving forward. This is the church's responsibility. God has given it to us. So we have no right as the church to complain about God and how he's not saving, he's not merciful, he's not, right? Because he does it through the church. So when we're not doing it, it's our problem. It's delegated responsibility. Number three, principle relationship. All good theology is relational. Everything has to do with relationship, like what we talked about. All right, so team two. This is the fall, Genesis 3 through 5. Who is going to read the tweet or the 140 characters? Susan? Oh, Michelle? Hey, Michelle. Oh, Will? All right. Hey, do you guys like Will's shirt? It's very nice. Yeah, sorry. All right, listen up.
So we decided to use emojis to explain ours. So we have
suspiciously close.
The snake emoji and then the apple, right? So that's Satan, you know, tempting with the apple. And then we had the thinking emoji, right? So that's Eve kind of contemplating if she should eat the apple or not.
Mm.
And we have a little arrow, and it's a snake and two sick emojis.
Sick?
So, yeah, like sick, like coughing.
Oh.
Because they ate the apple and, you know, sin happened. So, and then there's another arrow, and it's some clothes, because after they ate the apples, they gained the wisdom that they weren't wearing anything. They were naked, so they had to clothe themselves to, you know, not feel shameful. Mm. And then we had another arrow with two little kid emojis. That's Cain and Abel. And then we had next was an angry emoji and a knife, which is Cain, right? Cain killed
Abel, right?
Okay, so that's Cain. And then it goes to a skull emoji because Cain killed his brother. And then, yeah. And then we had to do, like, a globe emoji because, it, like, Genesis 5 is just, like ancestry. So. Mm. Yeah.
I can almost see it in my head. Well done, well done. Well done. Do you guys have the actual emojis? Like, do you have the actual emojis, like, written down?
We did.
Oh, but you deleted it?
No.
Yeah, but you guys made girls extra credit. That's kind of weird. All right, so. Wait, don't turn it around yet. We're not done yet. All right, so for Genesis 3 through 5, the fall, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. This is when sin entered the world and mankind gave dominion over to Satan, right? So the world all of a sudden becomes under the rule of Satan. And you see this in Ephesians 2, right? The powers of the air, the principalities, right? This is where Satan takes over. And if you saw Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis does a good job of showing this kind of theology. But when you remember Aslan the lion, he sacrifices himself, right? Or he gives himself up. And therefore frees the obligation to that witch, right? She gives over power. And that's what Jesus does. He ransoms himself so that he becomes the price to pay to give Satan to give up dominion. Okay? What happened? Why do people not reflect his image? The fall. This is when they stop following God's rule. They stop ruling themselves. And they break relationship with God. Right? Because in the fall, you remember in the cool of the evening, Jesus walks or God walks, right? And he's like, Adam, Eve, where are you? They're like, shh, don't say anything. We're naked. Right? And this is where you see God actually kill an animal. Because he clothes them with the skin of animals. This is the first recorded death in the Bible. Interesting, right? God actually has to take the life of an animal. And this is like the intro to the sacrificial system. Where an innocent life dies for the sin of mankind. And you see this throughout all of the Old Testament where the sacrificial system happens. Okay? But it didn't stop. Sin doesn't stop with Adam and Eve. It continues on, and that's when we're talking about Cain and Abel. Cain actually kills his brother, right? And then it begins to become worse and worse and worse. And that's when we get into Genesis 6 through 9, this group. All right, show us what you got. Wait, where's Christy? How come she's not helping? Talk loud, Grace. Whoa, that's like complicated.
Okay, so this is like mankind. So man becomes bad and wicked, basically. So God becomes sad.
Oh.
And then he makes a flood of the earth. Can you see the emojis?
Mm-hmm.
So everyone dies, except for Noah's family, because God blows H2O away.
Ooh. See, that's nice because they had the visual effect, but I could see it when you guys were doing it. It was really good. Yeah. Yeah. I love you guys. I love you guys. All right. So, again, what we were talking about, the flood earlier, when the flood happens, like we make toys about it, but it was actually a really, 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 really horrific thing. And some people think, whenever they read about the flood story, they think that the people were happy and nice and peaceful. But that wasn't the case. Murder and violence and sin were rampant. So much so that God decided to destroy the earth and start with Noah again and his family. So you see from the very beginning, God in the setting, it becomes such a problem. Sin becomes such a problem that God has to do something in order to keep the sin at bay before the whole world basically implodes, destroys itself. Right? And you'll see that in part four. But the thing that you need to remember about the fall and the flood is that the impact of sin is global. It destroys the whole earth. So Chris asked a couple years ago, is sin bad? Yes. The global impact of sin is complete and total death and annihilation. So sin is bad. Okay, so that's flood. So we've been through creation, we've been through fall, we've been through flood. And this is the last one, Genesis 10 through 11, group 4. What do you guys got?
We have a tweet. Abram's ancestors baked bricks to build a tower to prove that they greater than God. But hashtag God too strong, hashtag confused, hashtag no comprendo, hashtag need Rosetta Stone.
Do you guys know what the Rosetta Stone is? Okay, yeah. All right, so excellent. I really, really like that one. So this is really confusing because the Tower of Babel, people don't get that story. Like, they're like, okay, so this group of people, right, because it's the entire earth at this point because they're all descendants of Noah, right? They decide to get together because they have one language. They decide to get together and build a giant tower to reach heaven, basically to make their mark so that they are equal or greater than God. Right? There's nothing dividing this people. And so people are like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. It's just some weird old Bible story. But it's not. It's making the setting. This is a part of why God has to slow down sin. Right? Because the destruction of the earth was happening because of Noah and the sin that was rampant across mankind. And here it's happening again. The people are choosing to shirk off God's rule and God's relationship. And they want to build something to show that they are greater than God. And so God, in his Trinity, they come down onto earth and they see what mankind is building and they realize something. They realize that they have to slow down sin some other way. And so they confuse the languages. If you guys have read or heard of the book Germs, Guns, and Steel by Jared Diamond, fantastic, fantastic book. It started with this guy in Papua New Guinea talking to anthropologist. And the anthropologist is talking to this guy from New Guinea about what the United States is like, what the West is like. And he's like, I don't understand why you guys have all of these things, these weapons and these nice houses, and we live in the jungle in like huts. You're not smarter than me. Why do you guys have that and we don't? And that was Jared Diamond, and he wrote this book trying to explain. But you begin to see how natural boundaries, like mountain ranges and languages and all these things, begin to separate and keep people from developing technology, keep people from growing into these big, massive, powerful countries. And so why you see Europe has continued to grow in their technological development of weapons, because they were constantly warring. All these factions were next to each other, so they kept growing, so their technology kept getting bigger and better and better. And then there's more people, so they had to figure out how to feed the people with agriculture, and they developed that. So you kind of see with the Tower of Babel, when God separated all of the languages, all of a sudden sin began to become isolated in each language or each group. So different parts of these this area where God had spread, right, they began to develop their own sin differently. And sin would not spread like it would if they were all spoken in one language. So, for example, if you have one group, one language, one culture, when sin begins in a certain area and they start to do this, follow this trend, then sin would spread out through the entire group like that. So, example, like today in this day and age, right? What's a common sin? Pokemon Go, definitely Pokemon Go. It is spreading like wildfire, right? But let's say you have a region of the world that doesn't have Wi-Fi. They're a third world country. They don't have money. They don't have smartphones. Is Pokemon Go going to reach those people? No, right? So that will be isolated. So think about it in those kind of terms. So when God separates all of the nations by language, right, by geographic boundaries, then all of a sudden sin begins to slow way down. And so one area might be overcome by sin and become totally wicked, right? Sodom, Gomorrah, right? Nineveh, those kind of areas. But then there's other areas and other regions that weren't affected as much by that kind of sin. Does that make sense? So the Tower of Babel is God trying to control sin because he has a plan. So he's trying to slow down the sin. All right? So God's confusion kept us from being one who could be ruled over by one. Easy to destroy if put all in one place, created natural boundaries and divisions that would diffuse sin. And people are constantly trying to attempt to erase these boundaries. So with globalization, you guys heard that term, globalization? So you have the entire world that is now being connected, and they're being connected in different ways. A lot of it by the internet. League of Legends, K-pop, K-drama, Pokemon Go. Right? Like the world is starting to become more and more connected in diverse ways. And sin will begin to cross boundaries more and more quickly. And so the theory is that when globalization continues to grow and grow and grow, sin will become more and more unchecked and more rampant. Does that make sense? What's really interesting is, like, if there's a study done in India where these villages, there would be a lot of reports of domestic abuse. So the husband would beat the wives. Right? The husband would beat the wives. But when the families in that village got TV, they started to watch how the rest of the world lived, and domestic abuse dropped by like 90%. When the men figured out, oh, I'm not supposed to beat my wife, they stopped beating their wives. Right? That's a positive example of what globalization can do. But the negative example is when they see people acting the way, you know, like they see some crazy sin or whatever, and they want to try it, and they start doing it. Right? Like drugs or alcohol or partying or money, or, you know, they see what the rest of the world has and they want to have that, then that becomes the negative effect. And this is what God is doing. So this is the setting in which we are going to enter, where the people are being prepared by God. God is beginning to prepare his people for his plan. Okay? So this is the prologue. That's the setting. So over there you see the picture. That's Adam and Eve. They're naked, but we don't show the bottom half because we're Christian. And then you got Noah's Ark, right? That big boat. And then on the right is Tower of Babel. You get it? So this is the prologue in which everything will begin to happen after that. Is that good? All right, so we're going to try to keep it as interactive because I don't want you to get bored. But I want you this week to start thinking in terms of, oh, okay, what does that mean? Think about rule. Think about relationship, right, and what that means. Think about the principle of delegated responsibility and how the church is not responding in a lot of ways. The church is behind in a lot of ways. They don't know how to respond to LGBT. They don't know how to respond to Black Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter. They don't know how to respond. They're fighting and arguing, gun control, on and on and on. The church is behind. They are not the forerunners, except maybe in creating hate. And so as the church, we are responsible to bring about peace in the kingdom of heaven. Is that good? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you that you have shown us in your word that you have a plan and that we are a part of that. And help us to be the kind of people that join in with the plan and not go against it. Lord, we know that it's because of your great love you want to bring all people to know you. And so help us to be a part of that as the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.